Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text this morning is from John chapter 3. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. Jesus said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." This is the text. On Monday morning, as I was in my office looking over the text for the week, as is my normal Monday pattern, I noticed I was really stiff and sore, and I couldn't figure out why. So I started reading the Old Testament lesson where God sent the fiery snakes to punish the Israelites, and he had Moses make the bronze serpent and put it on a pole. If the people were bitten by a snake, they could look at the snake on the pole and they would live. The snake on the pole is now the symbol for the medical community and for healing. God intended it for much more than just physical healing. But as I said, I was sitting there Monday morning, I was really stiff and sore, and there was no snake on a pole to help me. Couldn't figure out why. Waiting for the ibuprofen to kick in, and then I remembered. Julianne and I had gone for a walk on Sunday. Went to Bob Mays Park, walked around, and towards the end of our walk, she blows by me and says, "Racia," and I ran after her, and I couldn't catch her. She beat me, legitimately. That's the first time. Never happened before. I couldn't catch her, and I stopped running before I pulled a hamstring. Apparently, both of us got older since last summer. But as I was sitting in my stiff and soreness, remembering why it was that I was in that uncomfortable state, I started reading an article about an executive from Google. His name is Bill Maris. He's actually the head of Google Ventures, which is it invests in up-and-coming new companies and technologies. Mr. Maris has budgeted most years $300 million, but this year $425 million, and he has the freedom to invest it however he wants. Well, Bill Maris is 40 years old, and he is fascinated with the prospect of improving health and extending life through science and technology. The title of the article is Google Ventures and the Search for Immortality. The belief is that technology and artificial intelligence will surpass human capabilities in the next generation. And in order to keep up and not be overtaken by the machines we create, which is the plot of many a science fiction movie, we will have to enhance our bodies, even our DNA, through robotics. Serious, this is the belief in the among certain part of the community of the science world. And the hope is that these enhancements to our bodies will not only allow us to keep up with the machines, but will also allow us to live for 500 years, or possibly even forever. I know it sounds like the plot of a bad science fiction movie, but that's what you get with the religion of secular humanism when the people who are trapped in that religion of secular humanism have grown up on science fiction stories all their life. Bill Maris says, "It will liberate us from our own limitations. Our limitations cause death." What would those limitations be? St. Paul gives an answer. The wages of sin is death. Basically, you could say the Google Corporation is prepared to invest $425 million this year to overcome the basic problem in man caused by sin. I was sitting there in my office wondering how much of that $425 million he would give to our Redeemer if I could share with him the key to eternal life. because I can. How much would he give to have the sure and absolute way to overcome the basic problem of sin leading to death? I would gladly absolve him of his sin in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit for $425 million. Actually, I'd do it for free. Gladly. The problem of death has already been solved. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Death has been conquered, and it didn't cost you anything, let alone $425 million. The cost was paid in full by the Son of God on the cross. He was lifted up like that snake on the pole. Now, death does remain a problem for all humans because the wages of sin is death, and we cannot escape what it is that Adam brought into the world. This body will cease to function someday unless the Lord returns first. The real issue is being born dead in our trespasses, being dead in our sin, as St. Paul says in our epistle reading. Our sinful self, as he wrote, lives in the passions of the flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind. I doubt Paul ever imagined that this would include the attempt to overcome sin and death by making yourself part robot. But Bill Maris is quoted as saying, "I hope to live long enough not to die." It is man's desire not to die. It's also man's desire in our innermost sinful parts to figure out a way to cheat death and to do so with our own work and without God. I read about Google's aspirations, and it sounds like the Spanish explorers seeking the fountain of youth back in the 16th century. The science fiction stories of today, they are simply modern mythology. The brilliance of modern science fiction is how the writers tend to weave the story into actual historical events, and then they can take the leap into imagining what is possible. This is nothing new. This is good storytelling. One aspect of science fiction that is troubling is that the future worlds that are imagined are almost always absent of God. Within science fiction, if there is a reference to religion, it tends to be naturalistic, spiritual essence, oneness of the universe kind of a thing, or if the story is of a future world, the concept of a religion can be referred to as the dark age of superstition, which is thankfully gone. Even if you're familiar with Bill Nye the Science Guy, in an interview in the last couple of years or so, He predicted that 100 years from now, there won't be any more religion because, science will have proven everything and everyone will know that science is true. It's just laughable. But this is the mindset of those who are of the religion of secular humanism, who have grown up on these stories where God is cut out of the picture. They imagine that this is actually real. We look at this current generation, and unfortunately, many of them, having grown up with this modern mythology where science reveals truth and God does not exist, when you grow up hearing those stories over and over and over again, eventually, a lot of people believe that that's just real. Now, don't get me wrong, I think that science fiction writing is some of our best modern-day storytelling. I love stories of superheroes, I love Star Wars, I love all that stuff. But it is modern-day mythology, and it has no more basis than Greek mythology. Now, I've always been fascinated with that also, even as a kid. I studied Greek mythology when I was in grade school. I loved it. And you look at these concepts of trying to live forever, and you see it over and over again. I mean, do you know the idea of a fountain of youth shows up in 5th century BC writings of Herodotus, the Greek writer? It shows up in the 3rd century BC writings of some mythologies that were, surrounding the exploits of Alexander the Great. This notion of trying to live forever, it's always been at the heart of man's, desire, and so the myth is often, it's good storytelling, but that's all it is. The issue of separating myth from actual events is often the challenge, and really it's the biggest challenge we have. Sinful man looks to myth to solve the problem of sin leading to death, because if we rely on ourselves, it never works. God actually solved the issue of sin leading to death by sending his son into this world. And Jesus is no myth. As I've mentioned before several times, and I won't go into detail again this morning, if any of you want background information on it, you can go through the archives or come talk to me. It's on the website, but there is real historical evidence that Jesus entering the world was a real historical event. You cannot deny that Jesus of Nazareth was a real person. You just can't. You also cannot deny that there was an empty tomb in Jerusalem. You can't. Which means that you have to wrestle with the claims that are made about this man who is claimed to be the Son of God risen from the dead. That is, if you actually want to look at real historical events, real things that happen, not mythology, not just fairy tale stories, but real things, you have to wrestle with this reality that there was an empty tomb. And we are going to be celebrating that empty tomb in a few weeks. God sending his son into the world is so much more than just some vain hope in a fountain of youth or robot body parts. As I said, this sort of vain hope, it's always been around. Not just with the ancient Greeks or the Spanish explorers. There are stories of the fountain of youth from the time of the Crusades. Like many of you, I grew up watching cartoons referencing the fountain of youth. I remember Donald Duck, Bugs Bunny, list goes on and on. For the kids today, if you watch the Pirates of the Caribbean movies, they all have as the underlying theme of those four movies the quest to find a way to live forever. The point is, these desires to find a way to live forever without relying on God, they've been around for a long time. It goes all the way back to Adam. Whether it is the fountain of youth, which Monday morning I was writing my sermon, I was like, I could have really used the fountain of youth. I was not feeling very youthful. Or maybe robot body parts. Maybe that would have helped me win the race on Sunday. But regardless of whatever means we try to use to overcome the wages of sin, our sinful nature, when we rely upon ourselves to seek a way to figure out how to conquer sin and death apart from the Son of God being hung on a cross to pay for that sin, you'll never find it. Jesus being hung on that cross has always been the plan. God so loved the world that he sent his only Son to be like that snake on a pole. We must look to him. There is no other way to eternal life. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.